You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Hello, Dave. It says recording a call. There we go. We're good now.
Yay!
All right. All good.
This is 90-something podcast.
I know it sounds mental, but sometimes I have more fun vegging out than when I go partying. Maybe because my party clothes are so binding.
You're an idiot.
I'll show you. Starting tomorrow, you'll see I'm just as sane as anybody.
Well, I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Smelly cat, what are they feeding you?
Mentos, the fresh maker.
Hey, this is Banzai Retro Club. I am Dave. Online, I've got Suzanne.
Hi there.
And I've got Scott.
And I'm not Dave.
And you are not Dave.
I mean, hi.
You are not Dave. No, you're not.
Dave's not here.
This is Torrance.
All right. So what we decided to do is we want to give some love to the 1990s. What we've done on a episode a while ago is that we had somebody on and we talked about the top songs in the 1990s. So what we wanted to do is drill down to a specific year, and we decided to pick the year 1997. So what we did was we found the Billboard Top Hit Songs, Top 25, and we're going to be talking about each one of those songs. Now, what we've done in the past when we've done this, and I don't know if we've ever done this with you, Suzanne, or not, but we labeled songs crunchy or creamy. Have we done that with you before?
I've heard you talk about that, but I haven't participated before.
Okay.
I might need a refresher on how you're defining crunchy and creamy.
Well, a lot of it is, you know, kind of your self-interpretation, but it started way back when Scott was using the terminology of like a crunchy guitar sound to kind of, you know, to talk about something that's like really rock intensive.
Like when we discussed Joan Jett,
right?
Okay.
And I said I love her crunchy sound. She's got a great crunchy sound, and that it just spun from there. I don't know why and how. I mean, it was just. I think that was when we had Chris Kaivo on.
Yes.
And she liked the term, so we ended up going with creamy and crunchy, and then we started judging everything as either creamy or crunchy. So creamy, something like. Oh, like Air Supply. Very, very creamy, okay? And where, like, Metallica would be the extreme end of crunchy, you know, or speed metal, and that'd be the extreme end of crunchy. However, there are exceptions to that rule, because sometimes it's a matter of how you interpret each individual song. So it's just however you feel about it. And unfortunately, you're going to have to help me out here tonight, guys, because I cannot pull up Messenger at all. And that's where the list is. And my internet on my computer is not working right. It's allowing me to make the Skype phone call and record. I hope you guys can hear me okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My voice doesn't sound funny or I'm not breaking up or anything, right?
No. It sounds perfectly fine. And you're not like the deep voice like you had before when we were doing the horror movies.
Right, which was kind of fun, but so I can't pull up that list for the life of me. So you're just gonna have to walk me through it until I can get it up and running.
That's fine. We can do that.
Okay. So it's gonna be a surprise to me. Every one is gonna be a surprise. Starting with.
Are we going down the list of every single one of these?
What we're gonna do is we'll start with number 25, working our way to number one.
Oh, okay.
You know, if we've got something to talk about for that specific song, then you know we'll share whatever it is. I after listening to a lot of these songs today, I almost feel like the whole damn list is creamy. So I don't even know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't really even know where we're gonna get with Crunchy. Other than
we don't have to do that.
Yeah. So, but we'll see. We'll see where how you guys take it, because you know the conversations that we've had in the past is, you know, you try to, even though you might have like a boy band, for instance, but if it's a song that makes you get up and dance and get you moving, then you might give it a crunchy rating. So it's really, you know, kind of a your own interpretation of what you're thinking crunchy or creamy is. So starting at number 25, we are a song called Hypnotized by the Notorious B.I.G.
Seriously?
Seriously.
I love that song.
Do you?
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Don't you know that we're something just hypnotized me? I love that song. It is one of the few rap songs that I have in my library.
Interesting.
Seriously. I can't believe that that's on there. That's awesome.
Yep, number 25.
Biggie, 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 yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it. Love that song.
Today, I think, may have been the first time I actually even gave it any time to listen to. And I probably made it about a minute in before I skipped to the next song.
Okay. That's cool.
I kind of jumped off the rap, R&B kind of bandwagon around the late 80s. So, like, you know, a lot of – we're going to be hitting quite a few of them on this list, by the way. So this is going to be kind of my de facto answer as we come across these. But it's great to hear that you've got a relationship with that song.
I do. And like I said, I have maybe 5 to 7 rap songs in my entire library, which includes like a couple by Eminem and then Notorious and then 50 Cent. I have one for 50 Cent. And then I have the Damn It Feels Good to Be a Gangster from
Office
I'm sorry,
Space.
Not Gangster. I think it's Gangsta. Is it Gangsta? Gangsta. Damn, it feels good to be it's Gangster. So anyway,
yeah,
that's...
I think that was kind of like the word of the year, Gangsta.
Yeah. That's a big surprise, and I still wish I could pull this list up. It's driving me nuts.
Oh, what about you, Suzanne? Do you have like any kind of relationship with Hypnotized by the Notorious B.I.G.?
No, I can't say that I do. I don't. Not really. I was not much of a gangsta chick, actually. 1997, I had a baby that year. I was kind of busy.
Yeah.
Kind of busy. But now, you know, my only exposure to Notorious Big, I think, is that I think he did a cartoon song in one of the movies that my kids watched, which was Barnyard. And they, you know, they had him portrayed as like this great big rat, if I'm remembering right.
Oh, really?
And yes, that was kind of funny. That was a kind of a fun song, but I wouldn't have known it if it wasn't in that picture. So.
Wow. Okay.
And that was a few years later, but no, I can't say I'm real familiar with the whole rap movement. It was not really my thing.
I'm with you though. That wasn't really my thing. So, listening to it though, just maybe the first, like I said, the minute, you know, that I gave it today, it's got kind of a crunchy beat to it. So I would give it that rating if I had to, you know, if somebody put a gun to my head and said you have to choose between crunchy and creamy. Scott, what about you?
I think because of the raunchiness of it.
Yeah.
I'd go crunchy.
Yeah.
Just because it's,
yeah, it's definitely looking edgy, you know, looking at the video.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would guess the video is not very kid friendly.
I would guess
what
also,
like it.
The lyrics really aren't either.
No.
But I can't remember what it is, but I swear they sample an old 80s song in that one. I could be thinking of a different song. I would pull it up and listen to it in my headphones right now, but I'm just like kind of
stuck.
Was
it from a movie? Was it a movie soundtrack song? Kind of looking like they've got movie footage in the video.
Could be. They could have used it in some kind of movie. It was not Straight Outta Compton, I can tell you that much.
No, I guess not.
No, that was before that. Before Biggie.
It was actually the last song released before he was killed by a drive-by.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I was trying to see if there's something about sampling, but otherwise I'm just sitting there reading versus talking, so. Mm. All right.
No, I'll have to listen to the song if I think of it, but anyway.
Okay.
Go on.
All right, number 24.
Number 24.
Oh, nice. I'm going to have you do the intro to each number.
There you go.
I Belong to You, Every Time I See Your Face by Rome. Now the silence is deafening.
Crickets. Where's my cricket sound effect?
Yeah, yikes. I don't know. I feel like I'm going to be real. If we're just going from one song to the other, I'm going to be kind of lame here.
I'm so sorry. Excuse my cough.
It's okay. We have an edit button. So, Rome? Is anybody familiar with Rome?
You.
How's it spelled?
Just like the city. R-O-M-E.
Like the city.
Okay, not like the song by R.E.M.
No.
I mean, not R.E.M., B-52s.
Right. So, I Belong to You, Every Time I See Your Face is the name of the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is another R&B entry, but once I said, you know, I listened to, like I said, about 30, 45 seconds before I skipped on to the next song, because I did not recognize it at all. So it surprised the hell out of me that it's on the top 25 songs for 97. But then I started to kind of go through like where I was in my life. And I remember that, you know, this was the year that I was just getting out of the Navy. And so transitioning out of the Navy was more important than staying up with the current pop culture of songs. So this one just, you know, I floated me by. I did not give it any time or inclination other than, like I said, the minute I gave it today. And then based on your guys' response, I'm going to guess that's the same thing, that you don't even recognize it.
Maybe I recognize, like, the background a little bit. Like, maybe it was playing in a cafe here or there, but I don't have a huge memory of it. But, you know, like I said, this was not really the music I was listening to. And once again, I was chasing after two very young children.
Yeah.
So I mostly was listening to like the SpongeBob theme and that kind of stuff. just similarly distracted me. It does, in listening to it just a little bit here, it does sound kind of creamy, kind of like rap creamy, you know, soft and slow. And
yeah, that's kind of what I picked up from it too. All right, so just because I think I want to get to number 22 faster, I'm going to go right to 23. So, No Diggity, Backstreet featuring Dr. Dre. Does this do anything for either one of you?
I don't think so.
Doesn't sound, they're like all sounding the same to me.
Yeah, so same thing as before, you know, the R&B scene wasn't really, you know, I wasn't really following that. Yeah, this one I don't have a relationship with. I gave it a few, like a minute of time just to listen to it, sampled it, but I don't recognize it at all. Have no story. We're moving on. So number 22, I Want You, Savage Garden. This one, yeah, it's one of those things that's kind of it's an earworm song. once it gets kind of going with you, and it reminds me of going out clubbing, and you know, there was a lot of times that we were going around the city scene of Chicago after I'd gotten out of the Navy, and I seem to remember hearing this one a lot played, you know, at when we were in clubs and whatnot. So I do remember this song a lot. And actually, after listening to it today, I was like, yeah, I need to put this on my list for songs that I liked on Spotify so that it comes up. You'll never know what hit you when I get to you.
But I look and then I smell up a feeling. It's like I'm down on the floor and I don't know what I'm in for. Conversation is a time I'm placing the interaction of a lover and I make it the time I'm talking. Using symbols, using what's gonna be like into a deep sea diver who is swimming with the raincoat. Well, come stand a little bit closer, breathe in and get a bit higher. You'll never know what hit you when I get to you.
So, I Want You, Savage Garden, does that do anything for either one of you?
I like the song. Like, I wouldn't have even remembered the title, but yeah. I'm like listening to little clips here as we're talking, and definitely remember the song. It was it did seem like a clubby dance song, you know, that harkens a little bit back to an 80s type of sound.
Yeah.
So, that's my kind of my preference. So, yeah, maybe a little more on the crunchy side. I wouldn't say creamy.
Yeah, I would go with that. I would go that it you know, if you had a degree of between creamy and crunchy, a little bit more on the creamy side, this would be kind of in there. You know, it's like you got some nuts, but not a lot of nuts. You know, so
yeah, it had a little it had a nice sound, but a little bit of edginess, kind of like, let's see, what was it that was out around the time, like Jesus Jones?
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
no, Jesus to me Jones. It sounds a lot like Jesus Jones. I like that Jesus Jones album. Yeah,
right here.
Yeah. Right here, right now.
Yep. Oh, I love that song.
Yeah.
So, Savage Garden.
Talking about Savage Garden, I Want You. Hold on, I gotta listen to it. Okay. I had to reboot my iPad. Something is going on
you
in
are
my house.
Technically challenged.
I am. Nah.
Well, maybe could the flood have affected the wiring? You never know.
You know, the water did not get over to the router area. So it's just like it's been fine for the last week and a half. It's just suddenly tonight it's messing with me and I'm getting pissed. And I'm not talking about getting pissed, my love. I'm trying, but.
I get knocked down.
I hear some
stir
going in the ice. Yeah.
Yep, that's
pissing the night away. I get knocked down, but I get up again.
You're
never gonna.
Oh, I know that song.
That's not the song we're talking about, though.
No, but he's talking about pissing the night away.
Oh, I totally recognize this song.
Yeah,
definitely.
Holy cow.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like you. It's a song that you don't always hear with Savage Garden. I'm trying to remember. They have like a slower song that everybody always thinks of when they think Savage Garden.
Right.
I just forgot the name of it. But yeah, I mean, I think this one got played a lot, and that's why you recognize it as soon as you hear it. But maybe not everybody knows the name of it.
That's why it made the top 25, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, now see if I can stop it and go to something else. All right, cool.
Okay.
So my iPad's working now, so I can listen. Oh, I love the next song, by the way.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah. So I Want You, Savage Garden, what are your thoughts, creamy or crunchy, Scott?
Oh, gosh. I wouldn't – I don't know. That's a really tough one.
There can
maybe
there
a can be little a crunchy, but yeah, a little crunchy. No, okay. I don't. I think we need to be able to pass on some of these for creamy or crunchy.
You can't.
Especially if the one. Yes, we can.
No, you can't.
I don't know. Maybe we can create some new category. I don't know. They have. I'm being reminded here of this kind of jangly sound that was popular in the 90s. That was nice. It was a cool thing, but it wasn't like they were love songs. They were edgy and full of angst, but yet they were slow like ballads. So it's kind of a different vibe than crunchy or creamy. It's kind of straddles things. So
yeah. 97 is kind of a weird year, I think.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, as you wish, we're going to move on to the next one, which is number 21. This is The Freshman by The Verpipe.
Yeah, that's
once
a good
again,
one.
If you said to me, what song did The Verpipe do? I would say, I don't know. But when I listen to this song, I immediately remember this song.
Oh, I knew this one right away.
Yeah, it was a cool song.
Yeah.
A cool song. But like I'm saying, very, you know, like angst and I don't know, unrequited yearnings for things, you know? And, you know, people who are in some kind of emotional turmoil, it sounds like. But yet, nice guitars playing in the background, you know? It was an interesting type of niche that was carved out at that time. And I think kind of Toe the Wet Sprocket had that kind of sound, and the Gin Blossoms maybe had that kind of sound. There are a bunch of bands around that time who had that vibe going.
Yeah, they were definitely in line with all those bands that you just mentioned.
Yeah, even the Sundays had that kind of sound, God. Although...
Okay, my iPad just crashed again, so I can't listen to any of the songs, and you guys sound like robots now to me.
Oh no!
So I'm just gonna go with it as best I can.
Okay.
Sorry for the
you still sound
technical
good.
issues, guys.
Yeah, you still sound good.
Listeners, I apologize. Hello.
Hello, you're here.
Hello.
Did I lose you all together?
We hear Uh-oh. You. We hear you.
I hear you.
Beeler.
Yeah, I don't see the icon anymore.
Yeah. Ay, caramba.
Okay. Now what?
Well, then...
Has anybody dropped out in the middle of a podcast before?
Yeah, and then we end up spending way too much time technically trying to troubleshoot, and then we kind of force the topic in, like, a lot quicker than we normally would have, just because we're trying to get it done.
I'll proceed however you would like to.
Okay. All right, so number 20. Number 20 is Mo Money, Mo Problems, and that's once again by the Notorious B.I.G. featuring Puff Daddy.
Okay.
And once again, I don't see this as, you know, this goes in the same line as what we ran into before. And I, you know, it wasn't my bag, it wasn't my thing. It didn't sound like it was yours either, Suzanne, so I don't know if we need to spend a lot of time with that.
Yeah, well, it absolutely wasn't my thing. I wasn't following it, but just listen to a clip. I recognize this one wherein they sample Diana Ross, which I like the Diana Ross song.
Yeah, I think I did recognize that earlier, too.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I've always thought that all this sampling is very derivative. So, you know, that's another reason why it wasn't really my thing. But... You know, I was watching on Netflix maybe it's Hulu. It has a bunch of documentaries up now called, I think it's called Soundbreaking. And it's on music producers. And it's really cool. And I especially like it because that's what my son wants to do. And there was a section on the producers of these hip hop artists where they were kind of psyched about the fact that these were guys who like weren't playing instruments. They weren't, you know, they didn't have like the resources to go out and, you know, get equipment and bands, et cetera. So this is how they made music and made it into its own genre, which is, I mean, it's a kind of cool thing that happened, I guess. But from my point of view, you know, I was brought up and listening to instruments and you know, vocalists and that kind of stuff. And so to my ear, that's still what I'm looking for.
Right.
But I guess, you know, for that genre, you know, it was fun to dance to, you know. I think it really, they got a lot of fans as far as, you know, what house music turned into. So, but I couldn't tell you a word of the song. You know, it's just the going on and on and on and on. There are very few rap songs where I, you know any of the words to. Maybe I think there were one or two that Will Smith did that I liked.
Okay.
Yeah, so it would be hard for me to distinguish and say something original about any of these.
So, like, late 80s, like Run DMC, did they get into your, did you listen to them at all?
They were kind of fun. I wouldn't say that I, you know, went out of my way to listen to them, but they were kind of fun, you know, like the Beastie Boys and Run DMC. That was kind of fun. And I still remember that very first Sugar Hill Gang song that came out when I was in, like, eighth grade.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, we all thought that was a blast.
Yeah. And that's kind of the, you know, where I was with my relationship with the rap scene. So, you know, it was very, very popular in the mid, late 80s. And I remember being excited about it. I remember even having a guy that we would jump into his truck for lunch and we were seniors in high school, and we would go to, you know, go over to Burger King to eat versus eating at school, because you're allowed to have that privilege as a senior. And he always played, you know, rap. So it was mm-hmm. one of those things that I got familiar with bands like Gucci Crew, you know, and, you know, which is something that I normally would not have known outside of that, you know, because he, you know, kind of force fed it down my throat. But it was like one of those fun things. It was fun to be part of the group. And understand and kind of, you know, enjoy that music. So I understand its place, but it was like one of those things that once I had graduated high school, or if I was exposed to it when I was in the Navy, you know, by being around somebody that was into rap and R&B, then, you know, that's what we listened to. But other than that, it was just kind of a, you know, if it's by my choice, I normally just passed it by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't the kind of thing that I like learned and sang. So, you know, and no, you know, no judgments on any of this bit about, you know, well, these are the resources you have. You have a turntable and you're a DJ, and so that this is the music you make. The reason why I'm a singer is because I couldn't afford any instruments. You know? I couldn't afford any lessons and any of that crap. So, right. You know, I just did what I could do. So, you know, I get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't really comment on that. I don't know what the heck they're saying. I don't remember any of these words.
Yeah, and not at all am I saying that these guys aren't talented or innovative. They just, it wasn't my, you know, my genre of music that I chose to listen to. But I think for, you know, the industry that they were breaking into, you know, they were innovators, and they were making, you know, they were carving a niche where there wasn't a niche before. And so I think they're immensely talented, because I can't rap. So I, you know, to be able to
go there.
Yeah. To be able to just do that on a fly, you know, and just be ready and put that together. I think that's immensely talented. So, but yeah, it just wasn't my go-to genre, that's all.
Okay.
All right, so number 19. So we're breaking into the top 20 here. This is called Hard to Say I'm Sorry by As Yet, featuring Peter Cetera. So this was actually a remake of a Chicago song, and it's like an a cappella version of Hard to Say I'm Sorry. Okay,
so do I even remember that?
I actually did not remember it, but I listened to the whole thing. I thought it was really awesome today.
Okay, I'm not sure if I'm... when I saw it on here, I just thought of Peter Cetera. I didn't think of who did the remake.
Yeah. So this is the remake of, like I said, that Chicago song. And a lot of times there are songs that I don't think, when they get remade, they do a very fair job of remaking them. but I think they did this as yet, if it's a group or if it's the actual name of an artist, but I think it's really well done. I really enjoyed it today. I didn't hear Peter Cetera in the track that I was listening to today, though.
Okay, sorry, just that you were on mute for a second.
No worries.
I think it sounds really nice.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that I remember even hearing this version. Like I said, I was very busy that year.
Right. No, I completely get it. You're having kids. Yeah. That's, that's going to definitely take priority.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you get no sleep. It's just everything is just like a blur. So I don't know that I remember this version, but just listen to a little clip. And it sounds beautiful. It's a beautiful version. It's so much less. I don't know. Like I was going to say, that Peter Cetera song is like the epitome of creamy.
It you know? Totally is.
It's like
yes.
a little step above Air Supply.
Yes.
But this version is a lot more. It's just a much cooler version, I guess.
Right.
Just a much more modern kind of, you know, add much more of a cool factor to that love song. And there you have it. So.
Yeah, I completely agree. And like I said, I don't remember hearing it before today, but after I heard it today, I was like, that's really cool. I really loved it.
Yeah, I have to agree. It's very nice. But similarly, I don't remember hearing it either at the time.
But I'm with you. I think by proxy, because the original was very creamy, I mean, I still feel it falls under that same genre, because all this version really is a bunch of guys singing a cappella of, you know, putting the beat down, you know, like they got somebody kind of doing like a beatbox kind of a thing going. It's very, yes. very smooth, slow, creamy, but so well done.
You know what? I really like a cappella. Like, I guess it's kind of strange because I was just saying that I don't like rap and these are similar artists, but they're doing like, I think it's really difficult to do a cappella harmonies. I think that takes a lot of a great ear and a lot of coordination. And this guy has a really nice voice who's singing, you know?
Yeah.
Like to me, that is so much more involved than a rap song, you know, than like talking through a rap song. I don't know. But like you said, it's not really, if it's not my genre, I shouldn't really, make judgment one way or the other, because, you know, seriously, like I said, from the documentary that I was, listening to, it was, kind of like taking a little from this and a little from that and a little from this and making something completely new, and that's great. But a cappella to me is difficult and intricate, you know?
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Yeah, they've got to be, you know, working together, you know, and putting right, everything together, right. You know, and the timing has got to be flawless, and they do that very well here.
Pretty nice.
All right, so number 18, this is one that I didn't even have to listen to because I know it so well, Barely Breathing by Duncan Sheik. I say goodbye, cause I am barely breathing, and I can't find the air, don't know who I'm kidding, imagining you care, and I could stand here waiting.
I don't know that I know this one.
I think that if you were to bring it up and play a bit of it, you'd probably recognize it right away. I know I heard it like over and over and over again. And it's like one of those songs that I didn't mind hearing over and over again. I really liked the song. And so one of the few on this list that, you know, I wouldn't mind, you know, having to, you know, have it come up on a loop every so often and really kind of get into
it. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I figured.
Once again, one of those kind of jangly guy tunes.
Guy tunes.
Yeah. Jangly. Guy tunes, you know. Jangle pop. Yeah, no, it sounds good. I remember this. Yeah, this was all over the place. That's right.
Oh, my God, jangle pop. We have to call that. We have to call it now, that.
Jangle pop. Yeah, yeah.
I think
that's a thing. Like, if you look it up, I think that's a jangle pop is a thing.
Is it? I've never heard that before.
Let's see. I don't know. Somebody said it to me years ago, and that was in reference to the Sundays.
Oh, okay.
And it makes me think of this type of music. Like I said, this Gin Blossom, Toad the Wet Sprocket, you know, type of sound.
I never heard that phrase before. Jangle pop.
Yeah.
And I love Toad the Wet Sprocket. So to have them, you know, be classified as jangle pop and me not know it, that's interesting.
All right. Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe I used the term for what I thought it should be and it really isn't. I don't know. Okay, I think I see Scott's icon again come up.
Hello.
There's Scott.
Hi. Yay. I'm looking. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm guessing you're at Third Eye Blind.
No. We're at Barely Breathing, Duncan Sheik.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't know that one at all.
I have a feeling that if you started to listen to it, you do. So that's what we were just discussing. There it
is. While I was waiting for my I rebooted my router. I had to reboot my computer. Everything was just a complete. It's a shit show here right now. I don't know what's going on. I've not had a good week and a half. So I had to look up Hypnotize by Notorious B.I.G., which is actually it was listed on YouTube as Biggie Smalls, which is who it was, but Hypnotize samples a song from Herb Alpert called Rise.
Okay.
And it's kind of an original smooth jazz kind of a thing from back in the day. And Herb Alpert, that's 1979 that the original song came out. This is one thing that it's interesting about a lot of these, and I'm sorry to jump back to number 25.
I was going to say, do we have to start all over now?
No. We don't have to. But the other thing is I listened while I was trying to wait for my computer to boot up. I was able to get it back up on my iPad, was able to pull up the internet. I also listened to Mo' Money, Mo' Problems.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Which samples the song I'm Coming Out.
Yeah.
Which
is we definitely
I don't know
that
if
up.
You guys heard yep. that about or listened to that part of it, but I'm sorry if I'm missing out on some of that. But
still there, Scott?
Uh-oh.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
No, you're back.
You're back now. Okay. Yeah, but you stopped there for a moment.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
If you hear an explosion over here, just, you know, ignore it. Because I'm about to blow the shit up right now. Everything is just not copacetic.
Please tell me you don't have a hammer or mallet anywhere near you.
No, but I have a big glass of whiskey that I can pour into my computer. But that would be a waste. Yeah, that would be a waste of whiskey.
Alcohol abuse. We don't do that. We don't ruin whiskey. Barely Breathing, Duncan Sheik. I think we both kind of, we recognized it right away. I recognize it from the title because I know I'd heard it over and over again.
Yeah, here's a question. So why didn't any of these guys go anywhere? Like, who is this guy? I never heard him do another thing.
One hit wonder. I think that is his... I mean, I don't know if there's any other songs out there, but when I think Duncan Sheik, that's the only song I can think of.
Good man. Yeah. It's a good song.
I'm going to have to... Oh, I recognize right away.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew it. I knew as soon as you started hearing it.
There was a lot of these, like, one-hit wonders.
Yeah.
Wow.
They played it all the time.
I knew that song, surprisingly.
It's like one of those that you didn't know the title, but as soon as you start hearing it, you're like, oh, that song.
Right, yeah. That song that I used to hear on the way to the gym all the time. Yeah. That's something else I was doing all the time in the 90s.
So once again, like I said at the beginning of this, I think a lot of this is falling on the creamy side. Barely Breathing is definitely creamy.
Okay, I guess. Jangly and creamy.
Jangly and creamy. Okay.
Jangle cream.
What was the term you used last time or a couple weeks ago? Linkity? Clickity?
Clickity.
Clickity. Clickity linkity.
Linkity. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a reference to the songs, but yeah, clickity. Clickety linkety stuff. I forget what that was in reference to.
All right. We just make up shit as we go. It's good stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm allowed.
I love it.
All right.
Poetic license.
All right. So number 17, Semi Charmed Life, Third Eye Blind. Everybody knows this one.
Yeah. That was a fun song. Very upbeat.
Yeah, it was very heavy on radio.
Yeah.
I didn't watch like videos at this time. It was way too this late in MTV's life. They didn't have music videos anymore. In fact, I just looked up the video and I've never seen the video before, but I know I've heard the song, you know, hundreds of times, I'm sure.
God, isn't that the one where they're like bowling, or am I thinking of something else?
I don't know. This one was just showing them riding motorcycles to open and in a car with a dog.
Oh, motor scooters and a 1960 Chevrolet Impala.
Okay.
Filmed around San Francisco.
Yeah, motorcycles.
Okay.
It's kind of rapping. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. He does kind of talk his way through some of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Third Eye Blind.
A little more guitar oriented.
Do. Yeah, that's another earworm, like you were talking about one of the other songs from before. Yeah.
Yep. So is this a good earworm or bad?
I have good memories of it.
Okay. So it comes on now, you don't mind it.
Right.
Okay.
And you definitely think 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, totally think 90s, but I would probably turn the channel. I'm not a big fan.
Okay. And if it comes on, is it sticking in your brain, or are you able to go on to the next song quickly and not think about it?
It will probably stick in my brain for a little while.
Ah, okay. So definitely the earworm.
Yeah.
And for Suzanne and I, that's a good earworm. For you, it's a bad one.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
good. Crunchy Creamy, Suzanne.
Wait a second here.
Gotta get a second of a listen. Yeah, sorry.
Crunchy Creamy. I don't know. A little more crunchy, I think. I mean, it's a fun crunchy.
Yeah.
Not too edgy crunchy.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I'll go with that same assessment. It's fun crunchy.
Fun crunchy.
Scott?
Crunchy.
Funchy. Oh, it's a funchy song.
On and on. It's a funchy song.
Okay. I'm going to go generic crunchy.
Generic crunchy.
Yeah.
It hasn't gravitated to the Jif brand, but it's, you're able to get it off the shelf and it'll work as peanut butter, but it's not your preferred brand. Okay.
Right.
I understand. I understand. So number 16, we're on to Nobody by Keith Sweat. Keith Sweat.
I don't know if I can miss this one.
This is freaking creamy.
Yeah, it does sound creamy.
I'm listening in my other ear. Wow, this is, my wife would love this. She loves that soul R&B, really smooth. Yeah, she would love this.
Yeah, when I
it's a little borderline, earlier. Borderline corny.
Yeah.
I think they just said sex.
Uh-oh.
I don't know.
Not the S word.
Yes. Yes.
Oh. Yeah. All right. We'll have to edit that out. just kidding, friends. We do have the explicit warning, so we can say sex. Yeah, I don't, like I said, I gave it like a 1 minute listen earlier. I moved on. It didn't do anything for me. I didn't remember it at all. But it is just so velvety smooth and creamy. That's exactly what it is.
very creamy. There's no crunch to that whatsoever.
Yeah, kind of Patty Pendergrass revisited for the 90s or something.
All right.
Which, I don't know. Okay, I just don't remember it very well.
All right, so then number 15 gets us to Bitch by Meredith Brooks.
Right, I think I remember this one.
Are you kidding?
You think? You totally remember this one.
Yeah, right?
Come on.
I'm a bitch. I'm a
lover. I'm a this. I'm a that. I don't know. I don't know.
Woman didn't empowerment.
Do that much for me. I guess.
I'm a little bit of everything. I'll roll into one. I'm a bitch. I'm a lover. I'm a child. I'm a mother. I'm a sinner. I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed. I'm your hell. I'm your dream. I'm nothing in between. You know you wouldn't want it any other way. So take me as I am. This may mean you'll have to be a stronger man. Rest assured that when I start to make you nervous and I'm going to extremes, tomorrow I will change and today won't mean a...
It reminded me a little bit of that stupid song by Berlin where she was, in fact, I think, was that song called Sex? I'm a bitch, I'm a bad, I'm a girl.
That is called Sex, I'm a. It's sex, yeah, sex with the I'm in the...
Right. I'm a bitch. It's like I think they just like kind of redid that song with a little bit of a twist. And I didn't like that original song. It just sounds like it was like eighth grade poetry or something. So I don't know. It just rubbed me the wrong way. Sorry. Yeah. I'd say crunchy though.
Totally crunchy. It's attitude. It's about the attitude.
Totally. And to me, I thought it would be like one of those things that just resonates with women. You know, like I can be this unexpected, you know, person, you know, be a bitch and I can own it and, you know, you just deal with it. And I figure that song eludes that or exudes that.
Yeah. And it was used in What Women Want.
Yes, I remember that.
From with Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Where he's like dancing around the house singing it, and it's actually kind of a funny scene, but
he's going through like all the CDs of his daughter.
He's trying to get in the head of women to market to them. This is before this is like right before he bumps his head and gets electrocuted with the hairdryer and all that stuff to where he could read women's minds. So anyway.
Yeah, to me, I would have thought that would have been something that, Suzanne, you would have been like, yes, you know, that is like the, you know, staple for womanhood, but I guess not.
I guess, I don't know, it feels felt forced to me, maybe I'm not enough of a feminist, I don't know.
Okay.
I think I actually am very much of a feminist, like to me, it's like, I don't know, if that's who you are, just I don't know. Do you have to like have an anthem, or can you just like be that person? I don't know.
Okay.
Didn't love it.
All right. Well, that's fair enough. I guess I gave this song more power than it actually had.
I don't know. Yeah. You know what? I think like this is a song that like the woo girls would dance to at the bar.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh. Yeah,
uh-huh. That's like when I hear this kind of song, the woo girls are out there dancing to this song, saying, "Oh, yeah. Look at me, I'm a bitch!" Yeah. You know, like it's like the song that sorority girls would dance to.
Okay, all right.
I don't know. You asked me.
No, believe me, I ask these questions to get an answer. I don't want you to answer the way I want you to answer. I want you to answer the truth.
I guess sometimes I surprise.
Yeah, that's anyway. Cool. You're allowed to have layers.
okay.
That's what we do here.
Well, Dave, you are like an onion.
Yep, like an onion, many layers. Yes.
Rose said it before.
Yes, this is true. Once again, I don't know if I'm like, I'm an onion that you start crying when you start breaking away the layers. So.
Oh, what about a parfait? I want to be a parfait.
Can I be like a sweet yellow onion? Can I be like that, please? Okay, so where were we? We're on Bitch, Meredith Brooks. I think crunchy.
Okay. Crunchy. Yeah,
it's the attitude.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't have a song called Bitchin' and not be crunchy. I guess it's got to have a crunch to it.
Yeah, definitely. all right, so we are moving on to number 14, which is You Make Me Wanna ... by Usher.
You know what? I liked Usher, but I don't know that I particularly remember this song.
Hmm. Okay. It's crazy that, you know, this is number 14, and I didn't recognize it at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe we weren't listening to the right station.
I'm guessing I wasn't.
Well, when was his song? Like, he did a song called Yeah, which was a great song. And what year was that? And that was, it was like a real sparse background where just the background, it was later. That song was later. That was 2004. Where the background was just,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, that was a really cool song. This one is a little creamy for me.
Heavily played, too.
Yeah.
I almost feel like we need to have, like, a younger person on this particular episode.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay, my internet's going to crash again. I'm sorry, guys.
Don't do it! Don't do it! Don't crash!
How fast? Where'd he go?
So, You Make Me Wanna, does that do, I mean, I guess anything for either one of you?
No, it's creamy. That's all I can tell you from what I listened to for the first 15 seconds.
Yep.
Yeah, creamy.
Okay.
A kind of nondescript, if you ask me. Nondescript kind of love song.
Okay.
Or lust song, maybe.
Yeah, and that's the way I kind of felt about it too. But like I said, it's one of those songs that I only gave like a minute to, and then I moved on.
Yeah, so you're right. So how did this end up being number 14 on the top 100? I don't know.
Right, and that's why I said I think we need to have like someone younger, you know, to be coming, you know, bringing that perspective of this list, because maybe there was something more going on around the late 90s where all of us were a bit older. And so we weren't, you know, that wasn't our scene. So it'd be interesting to find out kind of if somebody that, you know, was like a child of the 90s, you know, how many of these songs, you know, resonates with them.
Mm-hmm.
The list is going to get a bit more interesting for talking points, just to let you know, listeners, so please bear with us. So where was I? I was... number 13, For You I Will by Monica. Once again, this song did nothing for me. I did listen to it. It sounded nice and sweet, but I didn't recognize it. Suzanne, are you listening to it right now?
Sorry.
No problem.
I'm trying. Yeah, was trying to. I don't recognize this. It's sounding kind of creamy to me.
Yeah, that's what I got out of it.
I barely even remember this artist. Did she do much?
I don't know.
Yeah, nah. That doesn't do too much for me. Well, it seems like this is more of an R&B type of year.
Let's see. Sorry, guys. I'm done. That's Scott.
Oh, no. Well, he got to comment on a few songs. God, if I lost my internet, I don't know what I would do. I would have to go find another location. I would have to go, like, live at a Starbucks or something. Okay, so I guess it's you and me. I don't know. I don't remember very much of Monica whatsoever.
All right, so this is one that I was, when we first started talking and we brought up the list, one of the ones that I was kind of waiting for to talk about. Number 12, Mbop by Hanson.
Mbop.
Let us see.
Did this song, like, take over the world that year? I seem to remember it just being crazy.
Yes, you can go anywhere without hearing it 100 million times. And much like Scott mentioned earlier, this is one of those earworm songs. But for me, it's bad. I don't like this song. I do not. I get that it had its place, and it was okay maybe the first 500 times I heard it.
Yeah, it was a cute song, but it was very, it was like the definition of bubblegums to me.
Yes, yes. And that's putting it as nicely as you can possibly put it. Yeah, like I said, it was one of those things where I was like, oh my God, I can't hear this again. And it's like one of those things that at work, like I'm the guy that brings up, like I've got like Bluetooth speakers and I'll bring up Spotify and I'll leave it playing. So the guys in my cubicle area, we can like listen to songs. So in order to appease them, I do bring up like a 90s playlist, and Hanson is into that playlist. And so it'll come on every so often. And if I'm there in front of my computer, I will go ahead and skip the song. But the guys that sit around me, I don't think they mind it as much as I do. You know, it's just one of those things where I've gotten tired of it. I've gotten really tired of it. And, you know, I hate to say it, but there's certain 80s songs where I've now gotten to the point where it's like, okay, I've heard this enough. I don't need to hear it again. And,
yeah, you know,
I think Hanson is one of those things that gravitated to that list in my brain way too quick.
Yeah, I have to wonder if there's certain people who look at like that Aha song as that was the 80s version, you know, like, or M-Bop is the 90s version of Take On Me, you know, where it was just three guys and they were just all over the place and at the top of the pops, you know, in every country, suddenly out of nowhere with this catchy little song. And then after it was a while, it was like, I can't listen to it one more time ever again.
Yeah. And I'm going to piss people off, but, you know, my songs that are kind of in that list with the 80s is like Jesse's Girl by Rick Springfield. I hear that song every time I put on an 80s playlist, every time. And I'm like, okay, I know, I get it. And it's now the point where I skip past that song because I'm like, I've already heard that a million times. I'm good. Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Cyndi Lauper, same thing. It's like, I'm done. I'm good.
I still like that one. And I don't know. 8675309, I think, has gotten played out.
I haven't gotten tired of that one yet. But M-Bop is one of those things that it gravitated to that. I've heard it enough. I'm good. I don't need to hear it anymore. And if I have a choice, I'm going to stop it before I even start hearing the beginning of it. Because it'll get stuck in there. It will get stuck in there. It's a bad, bad, bad earworm, people. Do not do that to yourself.
Okay.
So.
Boy.
You've got to believe I'm opinionated about this song.
Wrong feelings, yeah. Yes.
Well, like I said, the list is going to get a little more interesting as we go along. So I
guess so.
Yeah. So my thought on this is it is completely on the creamy side, but I'm giving it a very generic bad creamy. It's the
generic bad creamy.
Yes,
creamy as in like curdled.
Yeah,
cream.
Yeah, you open up the jar and it's got that big bunch of oil at the top. It's probably the oil.
It's, ew.
Yeah, it's like somehow it like separated itself from the good peanut butter side, and you're like, ugh, okay, that's kind of the leftover stuff.
That's enough.
Yeah.
all right. Okay.
Yeah, you would think that I didn't like the song. Jeez. all right. So moving on, number 11.
Okay.
Quit Playing Games with My Heart by Backstreet Boys.
Oh boy. This is just like boy band song extraordinaire.
Did you like those kind of songs?
I mean, they were nice to have playing in the background and everything, but I don't know. It just seems like, to me, boy bands felt kind of manufactured, like they were just thrown together. not that. I mean, it's funny because we've talked about stuff in the 80s where, you know, a lot of those bands or a few of those bands were manufactured like by Malcolm McLaren and stuff, would just put these people together and say, oh, now you're playing and, you know, now you're going to wear Vivian Westwood's nice costumes. And, you know, it was just like production and that's that. But they turned out to be great bands. I don't know. These guys like all looked very pretty and the songs were nice and romantic and, you know, young girls sighed over them, but they weren't really anything I would, you know, once again, go out of my way to listen to. Nice to have playing in the background.
I would agree. It's the best way I could probably put it is, you know, before it became its kind of its own kind of thing or genre is like coffee shop music. You have that stuff that's just kind of playing in the background that
I was gonna say that it's playing in the background at the cafe. It's like almost elevator music.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's okay, it's in there, it's kind of just kind of existing, and it gives the room a good ambiance. And I think I can't fault the Backstreet Boys for giving that, because that's kind of what they were. I mean, I think they probably, you know, if you were a child of the 90s, these guys were the shit. You know.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I guess so.
Yeah, you know.
You know what kind of gets me with these kind of bands is that, why do you need five guys to sing this song? One guy could sing this song and do the background and be the same song. You know, like that, it just bugs me that they're just there so they can look good in the video. I kind of feel like that's it.
It's all about the choreography.
Yeah, the choreo. They don't play anything. And they, you know, they get on stage and they all just do little dances. And I don't know, they're like male Britney Spears.
Well, I think I've got to give these guys a little more edge to the talent than Britney.
Hmm.
Just
you
because,
say so.
Yeah, I mean, just, yeah, they're harmonizing together. They sound good together.
Yeah, it's true. They do harmonize nice.
Yeah.
I like a nice harmony.
Yeah, and God, here I am, you know, giving credit to boy bands. But, you know, I don't fault them because I get that, you know, this is kind of what they were put into with everything else that's going on. You know, I mean, I had mentioned before that I didn't, you know, I wouldn't say I'm a fan, but I was in, I enjoyed New Kids on the Block from back in the late 80s. So these guys were just an extension of what was going on, you know, and so I couldn't fault them if I gave New Kids on the Block a pass. So yeah, like I said, but you know, they were in the background. It was just one of those things that it was just kind of existed and I'm okay with it. They did their thing, and I recognize the songs because, you know, they got significant airplay.
Yeah.
I enjoyed them. So, yeah, but, yeah, this is all creamy, you know, this song.
Creamy, 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 yeah. As creamy as you can get.
Yeah, definitely. So, number 10 is Wannabe by Spice Girls.
And yeah, okay.
Just based on your reaction, okay.
Well, you know what? They had a lot of really fun songs, I have to say. I think you could kind of say the same thing about these five girls. You know, like, why do you need five girls? Well, you know, they're just there so that they can, you know, wear short dresses and look real cool in the video. When you could just have, like, one person sing, you know, like, they were very gimmicky. But I think that the songs were really, really catchy and fun. A lot more so than the boy band songs. And it was just, it was funkier. I don't know. I was okay with the Spice Girls. Like, I would have liked to be a Spice Girl. I would have been a good Spice Girl.
Which one do you think you would have been?
I think I would have made up my own.
Okay.
I think I would have had to make up my own, you know.
Right.
Oregano Spice Girl or some shit. Oregano Spice Girl. Something like that. Something Italian. But in any case.
Italian spice.
Italian spice.
I
there
like
you
it.
Go.
If you wanna be my lover, you gotta get with my friends. Make it last forever. Friendship never ends. If you wanna be my lover, you have got to give. Thinking it's too easy, but that's the way it is.
So here's a story from A to Z. You wanna get with me, you gotta listen carefully. We got M in the place, who likes it in your face. You got G like MC, you liked it on a easy V. You doesn't come for free, she's the real lady. And as for me, you'll see. Stop your body down and whine, it's all around. Stop your body down and whine, it's all around.
If you wanna be my lover, you gotta get with my friends. Make it last forever. Friendship never ends. If you wanna be my lover, you have got to give. Taking it too easy, but that's the way it is.
I'm gonna admit this. I actually went down the Spice Girl internet rabbit hole about an hour ago.
Uh-oh.
And I couldn't get out. I couldn't get myself out. What had happened was I know Wannabe. I know, you know, this song. And I'm actually familiar with the video. I will not have anybody disrespect Posh Spice, Victoria Beckham. So, you know, you will not blaspheme Victoria on this show.
Okay.
Just kidding. But no, she was always my favorite because, you know, how hot she was, of course, or is.
Yeah, that was. Actually, she was gorgeous.
Is.
Yeah.
Still
is. Beautiful girl.
Yeah.
You know what I hated though? She would never smile. Like she never showed her teeth.
Yeah.
And I think after a while I figured out it's because she didn't have really great teeth. Like she got them fixed somewhere after.
Oh, really?
After all these promo. This is kind of what I'm. See, all right, you know, I kind of did some of this stuff. I did singing and I did theater work.
Right.
And in that universe there, you kind of learn that when somebody has a headshot where they're not smiling, it's because they have bad teeth.
Oh, wow.
Or, yeah. And I think a lot of the promo pictures and stuff that she did in the beginning, she was always had this really stern look.
Right.
Then once she got a little bit more popular, she would smile. You could see she didn't have the greatest teeth.
Hmm.
But, you know, I think since then it's kind of, you know, they've kind of all been made perfect in every way. So
yeah,
doesn't matter. But that's kind of the impression that I got. Like, I didn't like the fact that she just would not smile. She was just, like, very gruff looking.
Yeah. Yeah. Out of the group, you're right. She just.
Yeah.
She had that. I want to say stern look about her.
Yeah, yeah. Like she always pose and wouldn't give the smile.
Right.
But I noticed that about a few other like singer celebrity types. Once I was clued in to the fact that hey, if you have a headshot and you're not don't show your teeth, you're hiding something.
Okay.
If you look at Billy Ray Cyrus, he never smiled either. You find a couple pictures of him smiling and you see why. but anyway.
But yeah, some of the videos that I got kind of like that I ended up watching was why did Jerry leave the Spice Girls? Who is Ginger Spice? How did they get their names? So and then I was very curious because after watching the video for Wannabe, you know, I recognized it as a one shot, you know, thing where they, you know, that it was just one shot for the whole video. They didn't cut away. And so I had to read about that. So it's like one of those things where I went from.
See, I didn't notice that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole video, all one shot. And that was by design, you know, and they just wanted to really showcase the girls just kind of going chaotic, crazy, in this club.
Okay, that's kind of cool. That's kind of neat.
Yeah. So
not a lot. There wasn't a lot of that going on. There still isn't. You know, there's, I think, probably much less now.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you rewatch the video now, just realize that they don't cut away. It's them just – it's a camera that follows them throughout this whole club as they take their hijinks and then, go away on a bus at the end. But it never once cuts away – into like another, you know, the girls or anything. It's just following the girls throughout this club.
Yeah, look at that. It's cute.
Yeah. I thought that was really well done. So credit to the director for that.
Definitely.
And so, but yeah, you know, it's one of those songs that's catchy. I've always enjoyed this song. And, you know, probably my love of Posh doesn't help, you know, so. Wannabe, does that fall under the creamy realm or crunchy?
Nah, I think this is kind of crunchy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, you know, Joan Jett crunchy.
No, not at all.
But, you know, they're in these little outfits and cool heels. And, you know, this is very pop. I mean, it's like the definition of pop. But, I mean, it's a little edgy. They're kind of, you know, yelling through the song at points.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And there's kind of like a little bit of a rap angle in there at times.
Yeah, a little Scary. Bit. A little bit.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I would go crunchy on this because I think it's one of those things that it's kind of designed to get you moving. And that's how you feel when you hear the song.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so number 9. How Do I Live by Leanne Rimes.
All right. Do I know that one? I know Leanne Rimes.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
So,
do I know this?
I will be... God, here I am admitting this on the podcast. I cry at movies. I do.
Okay.
So I'm a sensitive guy. I don't cry, like I'm slobbering crying, but, you know, I'll let a little tear drip, you know, every so often. But when and even for stupid movies, I'll go on the record to say, even stupid movies, if I get invested in the story and the character, I get, you know, if I'm going along for the ride and I get invested into what's happening with this character, then, you know, then I'll have that moment where I have that kind of sympathy for them, you know, during their, you know, during their challenges of what they're trying to accomplish in a movie. So, stupid movie, but Nick Cage, Con Air. They play How Do I Live at the end of it, when after he's gone through all of the challenges that he has to go through in order to get this plane, you know, safe, and he gets all the bad guys, you know, taken care of, well, almost all the bad guys, you know, and he went through all these trials and tribulations, and all he wants to do is get back to his wife and daughter. And at the end, he's, you know, got that wife beater t-shirt on, he's got that stupid accent, he's got the long hair, and he's got that bunny that he saved from going underneath in the sewer, because he's trying to give it to his daughter. And then you hear How Do I Live by Leanne Rimes, you know, and
that got you, huh?
Yeah. It's one of those moments, you know, cause you're invested in the movie, you're invested in this character, and you know, I got a little tear, you know, I could say there's dust. Aww. There's a little dust in the eye. So I'll admit it for the sake of our listeners, and hopefully everybody's like, you know, Dave, you're fucked in the head.
No.
But
you're allowed to be sensitive.
Yeah, well, thank you. But Con Air, come on.
You're in now.
Con Air is not the movie to be sensitive for.
I guess, but I mean, it's a bunny. They got you. That's what the bunny was for.
Yeah.
I don't remember the end of the movie.
You don't
remember? I don't
know
if I saw it all the way through.
Okay.
But I do kind of remember the song. Very adoring kind of feeling to it, I guess. I wasn't a big country fan, but you know, it was a nice song.
Yeah, I think Leanne was, yeah, God, she was hitting her heyday, you know, with this song. And she was also in Coyote Ugly. I forget what year that came out. But yeah, she was definitely making her rounds and well-known, you know, in the late 90s. You know, I thought this was a beautiful song. So I got to give credit to her.
Okay. It is a very beautiful song.
Yeah, it goes without saying it's creamy, though.
Very creamy.
Yep.
Very creamy. That's, you know, I think that's what she was shooting for.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So number 8, Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison. Now, I listened to this earlier, and I recognized it immediately, but for some reason it's escaping me right now, so I'm going to actually play it.
Yeah, once again,
yeah. Yeah, I recognize this right away.
Yeah, I don't really.
This is, if you were clubbing, this was definitely a song that was being played.
Yeah, I was not clubbing.
Yeah, I was, like I said, I'd gotten out of the Navy around this time frame, and I had moved in with the lady that would become my wife. And so being, you know, young as we are, it's one of those things where, you know, her friends would like to go out clubbing, and she was actually more into country music, so she wasn't into a lot of the dance club type things. She'd rather just sit at home and listen to country music. So I got exposed to a lot more country, you know, thanks to her.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, because the friends were out and they wanted to go clubbing, of course she'd want to go out too. And so by proxy, we were, you know, out having a good time. And so I know I'd heard, you know, where the hell were we? Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison more than a dozen times. In that, you know, capacity.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't really exposed to that quite as much.
Right. Well, I don't think you were clubbing at that point.
No. Yeah,
you were.
No, I was home doing like a Paula Abdul workout tape.
Paula Abdul workout tape.
Yeah.
Oh, what was that called?
I forget what it was. Maybe something like Get Up and Dance.
Okay.
I don't know. It was kind of fun.
It wasn't like sweating to the oldies.
No, it was fun. It was, okay. She had decent dance moves. You know, she was a good dancer.
Oh, yeah, she definitely was.
Let me see if I can look up what the name of the tape was. Get Up and Dance. Yeah, that's what it was called. Okay. Get Up and Dance.
Nice. Okay. Return of the Mac. I remember a lot of people dancing to it. That was the only reason why I would give it a crunchy rating, is because it was very dance club. You know, and it was, okay. It got people moving.
All right, I'll take your word for it on that.
Okay.
It doesn't exactly sound creamy, so.
Yeah. All right.
So we're getting up to the top here.
We are getting there. Number 7, Don't Let Go, Love by En Vogue.
En Vogue. En Vogue.
These guys do anything for you?
Well, I guess, you know, once again, it was something that you heard in the background. I think they were kind of talented girls from what I saw. I don't know that this is the song that I really remember them from, you know, remember them by.
Think we'll play it here and see how we do.
Yes.
Do you hear it through my microphone?
Yeah, I'm hearing it. Okay. I have it going on my phone. So I have it twice.
Well, I've always been impressed.
Yeah, they're talented girls. It's great vocals.
No, I agree. En Vogue is definitely. Yeah, I like I said, I recognized it earlier, but I don't remember in what capacity I'd heard them. I just remember it being on somewhere. Much like, you know, what we had said about the Backstreet Boys. And I think these guys, I thought En Vogue was definitely very talented, but to me it was background music.
Yeah, and I think you might lump them in with, like, there was En Vogue, there was, what, the Cover Girls, and there was, like, what was the other, there were a couple of other girl groups that were kind of R&B and were kind of similar. And I don't know that I really knew the genre well enough that, like, in my head, they're kind of a little bit more lumped together.
You know, if you were to pick, like, a girl group that has that same kind of, like, vibe, but, like, a standout song, I would give it, like, to Waterfalls by TLC.
Yeah, you know, that's the one I was thinking of. That was a really cool song.
That was a wonderful song.
I think that they had more hits. Yeah, that was a really good song.
Yeah.
And I think that song stood out a lot more than some of these others. You know, that were a little more cookie cutter.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What year was that, Waterfalls?
I don't remember. Your Google skills are good. So
yeah. Well, but that was 94.
94. Okay.
So, right? Or is this not? Yeah, that's what it's saying.
Okay.
there was an a cappella version or something, at least in 94. Okay.
Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, that was a cool song. But anyway.
But yeah, like I said, this is background and Vogue song.
Yes, how do you even say if it's creamy or crunchy? It's a slow song.
Yeah.
But I mean, look at those costumes in that video. That's kind of crunchy.
I didn't look at the
That's
video.
That's kind of edgy. Yeah, well, they're all in these little tiny black leather haltery things with lots of skin showing.
Well, I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, they're quite hot.
Sign me up. Twice a day, and once a day, and twice on Sunday. I'm all in for that.
They're looking good, yeah.
No, they're beautiful women.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have to go back and watch that video. Thank you.
I guess you do. Yep.
I may need a little time alone. Number 6, I Believe I Can Fly, R. Kelly.
Yeah, I remember hearing this a lot.
Oh, man. Yeah, definitely. Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Was it in the commercial?
It's just, you know, he had that, you know, where he kind of defied gravity, you know, when he was, you know, slamming, you know, the basketball or whatever. And somehow this song became kind of associated with him, you know, and the guy was just amazing, you know, an amazing athlete. But to me, when I hear I Believe I Can Fly, I'm always thinking of Michael Jordan. Because for some reason, it kind of, you know, Air Jordan, it was just encapsulated, you know, kind of the heavy vibe that was that guy. But all deserved.
Okay.
Yep. But yeah, once again, I think it's a creamy song.
Yeah, I think it's a very creamy song.
Yep.
I think this is almost as creamy as R&B gets here. But, you know, beautiful. It makes people, gets to people's heartstrings and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a popular song. I can see how it's up here on the top of the list.
Yeah, made it all the way to number 6.
Yeah, and I'm kind of feeling like maybe this was a big, like, wedding song. You know, some of these, you can just hear them being played as the first dance at a wedding. And everybody just going, oh,
you know? You could totally hear the song doing that, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I think sometimes they create the songs for that purpose.
Yeah, hell, we need a wedding song. So
let's get a wedding song out there so that, you know, in June, everybody's going to run and go get this song.
Yeah, I've got to wonder, what happens when, you know, these artists that you normally don't think, you know, to do that kind of thing, and then all of a sudden they go, and I'm not saying R. Kelly isn't that kind of, you know, for that, you know, that staple of music, but just recently, and this was just this past Christmas, Green Day came out with a Christmas song, and I'm like, a Christmas song? Green Day? Are you fucking with me? Come on.
I don't think they were still together. Are you saying it was a new song?
A brand new song. Just released. And it's not bad, but I'm just thinking, like, you know, is it one of those things where it's like, shit, we need to put something out and, you know, get our, you know, get attention again. What's going on? Oh, it's a holiday. Let's go with a holiday song. And it's like,
well, that, and then, you know, it's just an evergreen piece that people are going to play every single year and put on their Christmas playlist, you know?
Right. And so it's just kind of like, really? And so I just wonder, like, as you said it, you know, do these artists get, you know, the pressure from the studio to say, you need to come up with a wedding song? Yeah, we need something that's going to get played a lot at the reception.
Yeah, so, or even a Christmas song.
Yeah,
no, I was
that.
At
go do that.
I was at what was it, Tribeca Film Festival last year or the year before, and they had this whole documentary about very famous producer Clive Davis, and who was it, like Kenny G was one of his clientele, and he told Kenny G, you have to do a Christmas album, and the guy's like, I'm Jewish, I don't want to do a Christmas album. And the producer is saying, no, it'll be great. It'll be this huge hit. You have to do it. So he finally broke down and, you know, took pictures in the Christmas sweater and did a Christmas album. And it was like the biggest selling Christmas album ever.
Oh.
So It's funny, but you know, there's a market niche.
Yeah.
So, what the heck?
Yeah, I guess if you get pressured and you're like, oh, yeah. Fuck it. All right. Leave me alone. I'll put it together. Not my favorite, but I'll do it. all right. So, let's see. That was number 6. I believe I can fly R. Kelly.
Yeah.
We both said Creamy on that.
Yeah.
So, number 5.
Now we're moving on to this Puff Daddy thing.
Yeah. Puff Daddy, which is Can't Nobody Hold Me Down. And I listened to it earlier.
All right. Like, yeah, I'm listening to it. And it's redoing. I forget who originally did this song. He's redoing somebody else's song. Yeah, I remember it. It was a little harsh. Not digging that lyrics.
Yeah. Not a fan. And I think when I was listening to it earlier, I was like, yeah, that's I'm good. I don't need to listen anymore.
Yeah.
I had heard the sample though before. I just don't remember what the song was.
Yeah, how I keep them going. Who originally did that song? I can't even remember. Grimace Flash does.
I think.
Yeah, so he's ripping off somebody else's rap song. Okay.
All right, yeah. Otherwise, I'm just sitting here listening or reading Wikipedia. I'm not going to do that. All right.
Yeah, it's a crunchy. It crunches.
Yeah, yeah, the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't sound like it. Neither one of those really get into that. So we're going to move on to number 4, which is Unbreak My Heart by Toni Unbreak Preston.
Unbreak My Heart. Yeah, that was a nice song. That was a cool song. She's got a good voice.
Wow, I keep getting playlists, and I don't want that. I just want the song.
Yeah.
Toni Preston.
Yeah, creamy, romantic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, almost yeah, like...
That little narrative going on in a video where somebody just got killed in a motorcycle crash.
Oh, that's sad. Harsh.
Yeah, but I think she had a good voice. Very cool.
Oh, hopeful, this is deep voice. The smooth jazz tribute. I don't need to hear that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got a lot. I like the girls with the alto voices. That's
No, I think she's immensely talented. But once again, it's background music. It's coffee house kinda music.
Yeah, yeah. Very kind of elevatory.
Yeah. And that's why, like, at the beginning of this, I was like, this whole, like, list is, like, just about Creamy. So that's because I started listening to some of this, and I was like, yeah, that's definitely...
Much more Creamy. It's not a heavy metal yet. There's no hair bandy things on here.
No, not at all.
That kind of went by the wayside, I think, in favor of the jangly bands.
Yeah.
And rap and... you know, kind of bluesy type of love songs and things.
Yeah. So
and of course Hanson.
Yeah, Hanson. All right, so we're gonna move on. I'll Be Missing You by Puff Daddy.
No, that one either. But geez, Puff Daddy was kicking ass this year, huh?
He was. Notorious B.I.G. and Puff Daddy, man.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if. I wonder if the Notorious B.I.G. was... I wonder, because his song that we read about earlier was released before he had gotten shot. You know, did he become... Did his stuff become popular because of the, you know, the situation with him where he had lost his life and he had gotten shot?
Maybe.
I'm just...
Oh, shoot.
What?
He's sampling, because I'm looking at the video now, and he's sampling Sting.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I heard earlier. I'll Be Missing You.
Yeah.
The Police.
I don't know.
Was it I'll Be Missing You? No.
Yeah, I'll Be Missing You.
No, no. Oh, the sample is Every Breath You Take.
Yeah, the samples every breath you take. Right. Which I don't know if I approve. I just don't know. You know, like what? You didn't write that.
Here's the problem I have with this song. I seem to remember it being played when I was in the Navy. We were in the intelligence department, and one of the guys that I didn't really get along well with, he liked listening to Puff Daddy. And I remember him playing this song, and by proxy, I wasn't a fan of the song because it was associated with a guy I didn't really enjoy.
Well, that'd do it for you.
Yeah. I don't remember the guy's name, though, but I just remember it was just kind of annoying because it's one of those things that we had a community boombox in the office, and whoever kind of got to it first got to kind of pick. And Puff Daddy was his thing. He kind of annoyed me.
Well, you know, we've talked about how a song will kind of define, like, a really amazing moment in your life. And, like, you always have that association.
Yeah.
I guess it works on the negative side, too.
It does.
Like, if there's something that you remember and that you have that song kind of associated with it, you're never going to like that song again.
Right. And by proxy, this song has become that, and it's, you know, it's hooked to that memory. So I remember not liking it back then, and I don't remember it because it being a bad song. I just remember it being like a, you know, look, they shouldn't be messing around with, you know, an already great song, you know, and.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. To me, it's, I mean, like, I could, like, take one of Paul McCartney's songs and put it in the background and sing over it. And of course it's going to sound good. It's Paul frickin' McCartney, you know? Like, so where's the virtue in that? I don't know.
Right.
That's kind of what I feel. And now, is it any different than somebody else doing a cover of the song and having to be in a good cover? I don't know, maybe. But if it's the song where you love the original, you're not going to like the cover, you know? I think that's just the way I feel about things.
If a cover is really, really well done, and it kind of does it on a, you know, a different angle that you're not expecting, then I can give credit to that. But if it's just a, you know, nothing that significant, then I won't give it credit. But like,
I think he's even using images in the video that are reminding me of Police songs. So, and you know what's kind of weird? In looking at this video, the last one, out of the 10 videos that I've been watching here, just to, you know, remind myself of each of these songs, three of them had motorcycles in them.
Okay.
This has been a big trend, you know, videos with motorcycles. Two of them having crashed right in the beginning. And there's a tribute to Notorious B.I.G. at the end of this, like a little frame. Okay, I get it. All right. So, I mean, it was a cool sounding song, but it's a cool sounding song because it's got Sting in the background.
Right.
Got Sting's guitar riff in the background. So, you know, how do you go wrong?
Exactly. All right. So I'm moving on to number two.
Number two.
Number two is actually a double entry by Jewel.
How does that work? I don't get it.
I think I was reading it earlier.
They were different songs, weren't they?
They were. They were completely different songs. And the way I read, I think, because number one does the same thing. Number one is a single, but it was released as a double single. So,
a double single.
Yeah, so both of the songs.
It's called a double.
Yeah. Double single. Yeah, that sounds stupid. It was released as a double.
It's a double. Yeah.
But this Jewel one, it was like one of those things where it got released, but then, if I remember right, it was like one of those things where it was another song came out and became just as popular by the same artist. So that's why it got double billed as number two on the 97 list.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm thinking. So did they then combine the sales for both of these together, and that's how it ranked so highly?
I
mean, this was a good song. I love this. You Were Meant For Me. I love that song.
Yeah, actually, it is a great song.
And Foolish Games, I thought it was a little more overblown.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so Foolish Games, You Were Meant for Me by Jewel. I'm more of a fan of You Were Meant for Me than Foolish Games.
Yeah, definitely.
Picked up the paper, it was more bad news. My heart's been broken, my people been used. Put on my coat in the pouring rain. I saw a movie, it just wasn't the same. Cause it was happy, oh, I was sad. And it made me miss ya, oh, so bad.
Yeah, I remember the... Was it maybe the name of the record album was Foolish Games?
Good question.
Could be. That's what I'm remembering. But I could be wrong. I didn't buy it or anything. But I do sing this. I like the song. The
album was called Pieces of You.
Okay, yeah, that sounds familiar. That's right.
It was the third single to be lifted from the Batman and Robin motion picture sound. Okay, well, now I'm not going to like it at all because it's
the worst
Batman movie.
Oh, God, yeah, we don't want to submit to that association. That was a rotten movie.
Yes.
But it was You Were Meant for Me. It's a very sad song. I don't know if you listen to the lyrics. It's a very sad song.
I don't think I've really listened to the lyrics. I mean, I'm familiar with the song.
Yeah.
But not like... I didn't, like, commit the lyrics to memory. You...
Yeah, I've sung it a couple times. Yeah.
Meant for me, Jewel.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a while just to get to lyrics.
Yeah, it's a long intro, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sing this song. My pancakes too. Everything but you.
Yeah. So she's alone.
Yeah, it's basically she just broke up with someone who moved out. And is kind of just imagining him like chastising her for all the little things that she's not doing right in the apartment. And she said every little thing is reminding her of him and she's trying to get over it and she's trying to distract herself. And in the end, she's just like crawls into bed like I'm half alive, but I'm really kind of dead. And it's just it's very sad.
Wow.
It's a very, very sad song with, you know, I mean, she has a beautiful voice. And it's just a lovely, lovely guitar, but it just very much makes you want to just cry and give her a big hug and say, it'll be all right, really. You know, and sit, you know, just the whole refrain is soon it'll hit you that you have to come back. You know, you were meant for me and I was meant for you.
I think there's a lot of people that have like either a love-hate relationship with Jewel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like her stuff, but I've heard people that just really blast her.
Really?
Yeah.
I think she's very talented.
Okay.
I think she's very talented. I mean, she writes these songs, right? As far as I know. And she has a really cool voice.
She does.
And I wouldn't say that this is an edgy song, but I think that the song that first made her famous, I forgot what it was called, but it was weird and edgy. It was very interesting. So I think who would save your soul, something like that.
Yeah, I know that one.
That was a much edgier.
Yeah,
she had kind of an edgy entry into the music industry. So I don't know, I like her. I think she has a cool voice and she does cool songs, and you know, she's just like kind of on the verge of sounding like a country artist, but not really. Like, she's too mean. She's a little little too hard edge for that.
Yeah, it's interesting because I pull up Jewel Songs, and it's listing Foolish Games and You Were Meant for Me as 1995, but yet they're really? Here on the 97.
Yeah, what's with that?
Yeah. So did it take that long for those songs to kind of percolate into the top?
Maybe. See, I couldn't tell you because, you know, back when I was a college girl, I knew I could remember every single year what I was doing and when that song was playing. But once I was married, you know, I didn't really pay quite that much attention. So I couldn't tell you. That's strange, though.
I've got to wonder, is it because it got maybe associated with, like, a movie or something? And then all of a sudden it got in everybody's face.
Could it be? But you said it was the Batman movie, so... And that wasn't even a real good movie. Yeah, that wasn't even a real popular movie.
Batman Robin
Batman and Robin.
Bad. Yeah.
Was that the George Clooney one?
No, that was Val Kilmer.
I think the George Clooney ones were worse. Sorry, George.
No, I consider those the dark years of Batman movies.
Yeah, I guess so.
So
the low point.
Yeah, you should have really, if you didn't have Michael Keaton, then just stop while you're ahead. All right, so we're finally to number one.
Yes.
So number one is actually, like I said before, it was a double release, you know, a single with two sides. One was Something About the Way You Look Tonight and Candle in the Wind, 1997, Elton John. So the Candle in the Wind is tribute to Princess Diana. Very, very,
right.
Very beautiful song, and I understand why it became as popular as it did, because that was the year of the death of Princess Diana.
That was hard to deal with.
Yeah, and
I remember that being very shocking.
I know Elton was they were friends, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is probably what he needed to do to, you know, kind of reconcile, you know, to deal with those emotions, was to put it to music and kind of redo one of his songs from before. So
it was interesting. You don't always see that done. You know, it was a very unique occasion.
Right.
Loveliness we've lost, those empty days without your smile, this torch we'll always carry for our nation's golden child. Even though we try, the truth brings us to tears. All our words cannot express the joy you've brought us through the years. And it seems to me you've lived your life like a candle in the wind, never fading with the sunset when the rain set in. Your footsteps will always fall here along England's greenest hills. Your candles burned out long before your legend ever will. Goodbye, England's rose. May you ever grow in our hearts. You were the grace that placed yourselves where lives were torn apart.
I think, you know, looking back and, you know, both versions of Candle in the Wind, I think they're both very powerful songs. You know, one being about Marilyn Monroe, the other one being about Princess Diana. And I think.
Yeah, and it fits.
Yeah, and I think just, you know, the way that he changed the lyrics, you know, to fit, you know, that, you know, the particular person that he's paying tribute to. So well done. So well done.
Absolutely.
So.
And wasn't there, I'm trying to remember, but wasn't there a charity aspect of this that the proceeds from the song went to one of her charities?
Yeah, I read about that. That it said that all the proceeds for this album went to the charities that she was involved in.
Wow. Right. So that's why everybody went out and bought the song.
Yeah, and I know that everybody that was on that side of the pond, you know, was so enamored with her, and you know, this tribute to her, and you know everybody loves Elton John, and you know, this was just, you know, so sad and meaningful, and it was 1997, and I'm so glad that it's the number one song.
Yeah, it's appropriate. That was a huge, it was a huge deal. I think when Princess Diana died, it was, everybody felt really, really vulnerable suddenly. Like, that was somebody who you never thought in a million years anything bad would ever happen to. Somebody who has, like, you know, basically bodyguards and Secret Service type people following them around and watching their every move, and people, you know, documenting every step that she takes.
Right.
And she could still smash into a column and die in a car accident like any other Joe out there. You know, it was just like, how could that possibly have happened?
Right.
But it did. You know, it was just, to me, that was, and it was so sad. Once again, here I am. I'm a mother, not a new mother, because my daughter was born a couple of years before. But I'm a mother of young children, watching this funeral procession, and the flowers on the top of her casket had a little card, and it said "Mummy" on it. It was a little note from Prince Harry. Just to watch that as a mother of a new baby, it just was killer. That was just so hard. So this was quite a tribute, you know. I mean, it was really kind of a tumultuous type of moment, I guess. So not to end on a downer, but that really got to me.
Well, I think that really, you know, it was a defining moment of the 97. So
yeah,
you know, it's rightly so that, you know, that it ends on that note, you know, because there was so, you know, everybody knew about this and everybody followed it. And, you know, like you said, everybody was shocked by it.
It was shocking.
Yeah. And I actually looked it up because I was kind of curious about the, you know, when I saw that, you know, that song was on the list, and I looked it up to kind of find out kind of why did Elton John do that. And I guess, you know, earlier that same year, he had lost another friend, which was fashion designer Versace.
Oh, Johnny Versace, yeah. Right.
So
it was murder.
Yeah, he had lost that same year. He had lost a friend in him. And you actually can find pictures of Diana consoling him at the funeral. Elton. And so, you know, they had that kind of relationship. And, you know, so, you know, I could see why, you know, he had to be devastated that year, you know, having lost those two good friends. And, you know, this was his coping mechanism.
Yeah. So at least he could do that. You know, at least he could do that and raise money for her charity, which is really what she kind of lived for.
Right.
And we all, everybody commiserated, you know, everybody commiserated with him. And, you know, because she was very much, people related to her so highly. Like, she was the one, like, human being in the royal system out there. And even, you know, I lived in England in the mid-80s, and it was, like, real big, the highlight of the Diana princess years, you know?
Right.
So, you know, I related a little bit too.
She was that common person that,
yeah,
you know, that everybody was kind of like, yeah, I can associate with her. But then she was doing so much great things with, you know, what she got into with being, you know, part of the royal family. You know, she was able to take that and do a lot of great for the good of the world. And you loved her even more for it.
She was in a unique position too. I think she changed so much. Even, I mean, the reason why her sons got to marry whoever they wanted to is because of the things that happened to her, because of all the scrutiny that she went through, all the the way that she was hounded, the way that that the press treated her, the anxiety and the anorexia that she went through, you know, all because she had to be part of that royal family and try and live in the real world under all those restrictions,
right,
and limitations, which just don't. I mean, how do you live like that? So, you know, after that, like, they didn't have, it didn't matter that, you know, William and Harry just married whoever they wanted to marry. They didn't have to, you know, I mean, Harry didn't even marry an American girl. I'm sorry, didn't even marry an English girl. He married an American.
Right.
You know, these are things that if she were able to live, you know, if those restrictions had been gone, maybe she would have had a much easier life and not have been, you know, driven to escape the paparazzi with such fervor. You know, maybe she would have been able to have a little bit of a more normal life and not ended things the way that they did.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad that she had to make all those sacrifices, but at least her sons get to be a little bit more in control of their lives and who they spend their lives with and who they're in love with and how their spouses are treated, etc.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, we're ending this on a very not so happy note.
I know, but how can you not?
No,
that's a song that made it to the top.
Yeah, it's a song that we end with. And I would go that this is just, you know, creamy as hell. But
I guess so.
If you were to look at a premium brand creamy, you know, that's where we're at.
Okay, yeah. That sounds good. Yeah. Premium brand creamy.
So not creamy and crunchy isn't good enough. Now we have to say whether it's a standard brand or like a
discount
gourmet brand. Yeah, this is gourmet creamy peanut butter.
Okay, yep. Sounds good.
All right. So this is the part where we remind everybody that we have a website. It's out there. It's BanzaiRetroClub.com, BANZAI. And on that, you can get to our links for social media. Follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, Facebook, all that kind of good jazz. So if you want to interact with us, please do that. If you want to shoot us an email, that's McFly@BanzaiRetroClub.com. Suzanne, I know you've got a kick-ass blog out there. Why don't you tell everybody about that?
Okay, I'm at SuzanneMattaboni.com, SuzanneMattaboni. You can find me on Twitter as well, Suze Mattaboni, and Instagram, SuzanneMattaboni80s, for some, you know, cool retro stuff from that decade, usually music related.
Very cool. And I know that Scott had to drop, but if he were here, he'd also remind you that he has a Twitter account. That's 80s Auto Reverse. So please interact with him on that. Hopefully, he'll get his computer problems resolved, and he'll be able to respond to you. So with all of that being said, we'd like to please be excellent to each other, and have a good whatever. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Banzai Retro Club production.
Banzai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Banzai!
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 with my heart, I should have known from the start.